My Jesus, I love thee. Probably wouldn't have to say any more. I can sit down and go home. If you are all living up to that. And me too. Jesus, what a beautiful name. And what was the one song? Lord, you have my heart. Lord, do you really have my heart? Think about those questions. Some heavy stuff there for us. Well, today we're going to be looking at the Old Testament again. And what did Mike just say about preaching on hot topic button topics? Well, I may be touching on the hot button topic, but it was one that was in the Bible. And it's still hot button. I don't know. The Lord knows. Well, today we're going to be talking about interceding and influence. Interceding and influence. Does your life have influence to others? Is your life influencing others? Are you interceding on behalf of others? Are you interceding on behalf of those who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Those who are going through difficult and challenging times, are you interceding for them? When I think of intercession, I think of a man from the Bible, and his name starts with the first letter of the alphabet, and it's not Adam, it's Abraham. Abraham was one who was interceding on behalf of who? Who did Abraham intercede on behalf of? Lot. Who was Lot to him? Nephew, yes. It was his nephew. And you know what? I have some scriptures here that I didn't get handed out. Oh, well. I guess we'll just... Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. And we'll need some microphones to those, which our sound system guys are always up to date on and taking care of. Thank you for those leading us in worship today. And you know what? I think heaven's going to have musical instruments too, but there's going to be a lot of a cappella singing in heaven as far as I'm concerned. So that's great. I like that. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So I'm sure some of you other people have some scriptures that you'll talk to me about that says that there's plenty of instruments in heaven. So, okay. So we're going to be looking at Abraham interceding on Lot, because Lot was an individual who... His nephew, who was one individual who chose to look at some of the things that were best to the eyes. He wanted to go where the glitz was, where the lights were, where he could get self-fulfillment in his own way. And Abraham, on the other hand, was an individual of like passions, of course. But we also see how God used him as Abraham wanted to follow God. Abraham wanted to follow God, and we'll see that. So I think somebody has a scripture here from Genesis 19, 17 through 29, and now it's the first book of the Bible, in case you didn't know. It's the first book, the start of the, how many books in the Bible? 66. You can say it louder. You don't have to say it so quiet. Yeah. 66 books in the Bible. And it's interesting that all the books of the Bible all coordinate together, even though they were written in so many different times and ages and everything. And we just praise God for the God who put that all together. Genesis 19, 17, I believe it is. Does somebody have that? Genesis 19. And starts at the, doesn't start at, 17th. It starts before that, maybe 15. Somebody have the 15? Yeah. 15 to 23. Yep, thank you. And then there's one from 23 to on.
With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. But Lot said to them, no, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here's a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. He said to him, very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. But flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it. That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land.
Okay, and, I believe it's 24 through 29 now.
Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early in the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived.
Okay, thank you, and that's our basis background for our scripture here as we have Abraham interceding for Lot. And this story, too, is about Lot's wife. She didn't never, in the scriptures, we never got a name for this lady. It was always Lot's wife. Now this fits in pretty good with talking about names this morning. My brother, when he goes someplace, he is known not as Curtis Martin, he's known as Glenn Martin's brother. He said he knew how old he'll have to be before he grows out of that. He's always Glenn Martin's brother wherever he goes. So, and I'm sure some of you have those scenarios in your lives that people know you because of another relative or something. But we see here that Lot's wife was mentioned here. She cared for the city that she lived in more than the relationship with her God. She was not ready to leave. She had divided heart. She had a divided heart. Didn't we sing about that? Jesus, I love thee. Lord, you have my heart. Here we see that she had a divided heart. There comes a time here to move quickly. She is one who saw the mighty acts of God, and we sang about that this morning too. The mighty acts of God that have taken place, she was aware of those. So why is it that Abraham came so boldly speaking to God as he was interceding here in these verses, in chapter 18, that's listed. Why is Abraham so bold when speaking to God? Why is he so concerned about Sodom and Gomorrah? What do you admire about Abraham that you might want to imitate? Are there people that you look at and say, That thing, I want to imitate that. I want to imitate that from that individual. I want to be more like that. But make sure that we don't put the creature above the creator in all that. What do you admire? Can righteous people make a difference in the world? Can righteous people make a difference in the world? And you, as a righteous person today, are you making a difference in your world, wherever you're at? What is your life being like? We want to consider how Abraham, a man subject to passions like we are, Abraham's prayer availeth much. And I also came across the fact that this is probably the first recorded prayer in the Bible, as we see Abraham interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. his nephew. Even though time and time again we see Abraham walking in human reasoning, he was in a human individual. He was walking in human reasoning, but we see here his prayer availeth much. Prayer of intercession. In Genesis 19:29, when it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. There are times that we feel there's no answer from God. We sometimes despair. But what is our influence? What is your influence in your everyday walk, in your family, in your community? What God was going to do was destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, here is an interesting point. He left Abraham in on what was going to take place. He left him know what was going to take place. Now, why is it that Abraham was left know what was going to take place? That he was going to destroy him. And you can read about this in Genesis 18:16-33. That you can read some other time today or this week. Read about that. But God knew Abraham was faithful. And he had the knowledge of God. And that he would follow in what he wanted him to do. God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Did God remember Lot? The scripture doesn't say that. But Lot had forfeited the least of God's blessings. But the prayers of a righteous person avail much. We see the earnest pleading for Sodom on Lot's sake. Abraham and Sarah, we know that she was barren. She didn't bear any babies, any little ones. And we see that Abraham and Sarah were visited by an angel. The angels telling them what's going to take place. And here again, we have the angel coming to Abraham and telling him about what was going to take place. And we see that Abraham strove with the Lord on behalf of Sodom. Strive is to exert effort, to struggle, contend. And we see that in these verses in 18:16-33. The Lord said, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, he dispatched the ambassadors to go to Sodom and Gomorrah to check it out, to see what's going on, to see what's taking place. They were his ambassadors. And you and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ in the worlds we live today. And here we have this intercession Genesis 18:23, you can see the start of this. Genesis 18:23. Abraham stood and drew near and gave this horror case. Will you wipe out the good with the bad? And I'm going to turn to that so I get it. I have it written down here. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? He asked a question here. Preadventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Why to destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That it be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be not as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And he keeps on going down here. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. He sees his place before the Lord. He sees Almighty God. He sees who he is, his authority, and he realizes what he is. Preadventure, he again goes on and says, preadventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. I guess that would be 45, right? Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And pre-adventure he said, yet again. And pre-adventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Pre-adventure there be 30. I will not destroy the city if there's 30 found. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Pre-adventure there shall be 20 found. And he said, I will not destroy the city for 20's sake. And he said, O Lord, be not angry. Pre-adventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. The communing together here taking place with Abraham. Wow. What an influence does your life have on others as we see him going down through this? If Lot had brought up his family, how many people in this city, as Abraham did, he would have taught his children according to the will of God, it may have been a different story. But here in this city, at this time, we had Lot, his wife, his two daughters, and at that point, there were the sons-in-laws. When we see Lot talking to them, they did not respect him. They didn't follow him. They didn't have no regard for what he had to say. So we see the distinction here between Abraham and Lot as the Lord's person for revealing his plan to destroy Sodom. We see God's reading in the verse. He looked at the condition of man's heart, and we sang about that, and his reason for the decree. And he says, for I know about Abraham, this is in Genesis 18, 19. I believe somebody has this paper. Genesis 18, verse 19. Maybe I didn't give that one out. Okay, let me share it here. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God knew Abraham would follow and bring up children in justice and judgment. Therefore, God would grant the blessing. This is where Lot had failed. He did not bring up his children according to that principle. Therefore, the Lord did not spare Sodom for Lot's sake. Think about our living. What effect does it have on others? What effect does our living have on others? Because we are called salt and light. It doesn't say if you want to be salt and if you want to be light. It says we are, as Christians, salt and light. But some would say it doesn't matter how we live. It doesn't matter what light we give. It doesn't matter if we're salty or not. I don't agree with that. We see the responsibility of parents have in bringing up their children. Because, you know, parents, the only thing that's going to heaven is our children. None of our stuff, none of our houses, none of our vehicles, none of our money, none of that's going to heaven. Just our children. Let's make our investment. And let's make it sure. What can you say? He has brought up his children according to what the Lord saw in Abraham. We find our children are born under the power of sin. We need to instruct them. We need to help them. We need to straighten the twig. Sometimes the twig needs to be used at certain places. Also, my father used a milker hose at times when I needed it. Milker hoses seem to wrap around your legs a little bit more. But train up a child when he is young, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We see that Lot failed in this area. Lot went out to, in Genesis 19:14, Lot went out to speak to his son-in-law, which had married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But it seemed that he mocked his father-in-law because he didn't have no trust. He didn't have no respect for him. The Lord may have spared the city. If you start adding up the numbers, you may have got to 10. But you didn't get to 10. The city of Sodom, it had taught his family and Abraham had. Lot had a problem with covetousness. You remember the story of Lot? Abraham and Lot, they were coming forth, and ahead of them was the plains, and Abraham said to Lot, "Choose you where you want to go." He coveted the well-watered plains, the well-growing places. That's where he chose. And he took his place of living near, next to the city that was of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he had a first move. We also know that it says in the scripture something about he set his tent toward Sodom. What does the scripture say about not putting yourself in a place, in an evil place or something, a place to be influenced? Don't put yourself in those places. Well, he even set his tent toward this city of destruction. We see the effect that it had on his family. We see that he had one move there, set his tent. Where was his? Where did we find the angels find Lot when he came to the city? He was at the gate. Well, what does that say? He was probably a mayor, or he was some kind of judge in leadership there in that city. There he was, sitting at the gate. Sitting at the gate. Yes. The thing that we see here is the state of unreadiness that we find Lot's family, his wife, because they were coming out of this city of destruction. The Lord could not find 10 righteous people. The Lord heard this, the cry of the city. He went down to see and heard. He sent two angels who were forcibly taken for the purpose of sodomy, for homosexuality in this city. The things that were going on in this city of Sodom and Gomorrah were detestable, sinful pleasures. And I believe I have some other words about that. The things that were going on were detestable before the Lord and detestable in human nature, period. The Lord Christ used Lot's wife to illustrate to the generations the solemnity of the awful state of unreadiness in this city, as well as also Lot and his wife. This kind of unreadiness will also dominate at the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Lord uses this as an example and as an illustration of the condition of the world when he returns. Does somebody have Luke 17, verse 26 to 32? Luke 17, 26 to 32.
Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planning and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife.
Okay, remember Lot's wife. She looked back and became a pillar of salt. The warning is highlighted many times. Remember Lot's wife. Why? The Lord uses this as a beacon for the church in this generation. A beacon is what? A guide. A beacon can be a pilot, a steering, or a lighthouse, as we saw this week at Long Beach Island. We were down at Harvest Cedars Bible Conference, and we were up at Barnegat Light, where the ships come into the Bay Area. There's lights there. And on foggy mornings, there are sounds emitting from that to let the ships know where they need to come in at. Yes, this, remember Lot's wife, is certainly one of those beacons. A signal fire or on a hill for attention, or if somebody's stranded, they put a fire up. Yes, those lights, the harbor lights, need to be lined up in order to enter the harbor. We are to remember that what happened to Lot's wife, she was not ready to leave. Her heart was in Sodom and the things of this life. The scripture says, having put your hand to the plow and then looking back, we are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. How many of you here have ever pulled a furrow with a tractor or horses or something? My dad used to, for the first furrow that he was plowing in a field, he would put a digging iron at the other end with a flag on, and he'd go to the other end. He'd step off the field first, step it off, and then go up through. It's interesting to see how straight it gets when you look back and see how close you were at just continuing straight. God has called us to the straight and narrow way. He has called us to the straight and narrow way. He gives us grace and mercy to walk in that way. When our hearts are divided or entangled in the city of destruction, remember the warning. You don't know about Lot's wife. We don't know about Lot's wife, her father, or her mother. We don't read any genealogy or know anything about her name. In her disappearance, she became a beacon to this generation. She was almost saved. Almost saved. Think about that. Remember Lot's wife? I believe she was thought of in her generation as one of God's followers. But did it appear that way? She had lived with a man who was righteous. We would say she lived a double standard. Her heart was never separated from Sodom. As they were getting ready to leave, just one more look. My friend, you and I need also to be careful about our look. We need to have a covenant with our eyes. Because years ago, you would have one TV. You didn't have a cell phone. You can push buttons now and you can get stuff that you don't even want to see. And sometimes you get it even when you don't even push the buttons. Stuff flies in. We need to make a commitment with our eyes to only look at those things that God would have us to look at. Yes, we need a commitment with our eyes. We see that these angels came to tell Lot to leave, and his wife and his daughters, because the place was going to be destroyed. And in Genesis 19:16 it says, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon their hand, and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto them, they brought him forth and set them without the city. They were lingering there. They were told to leave, but they were lingering. Do you and I need somebody to grasp us by the hand? Yeah, sometimes we probably do. He took them by the hand and took them out of the city and said, go across this plain. Keep going. Go to the mountains. But we know in the scripture that was read here that Lot started wheeling and dealing again with these angels. He said, well, why can't I do this? Why can't I go this way? Come on, Mom, help me. What do our children say? We want them to do something. They say, must I go that way? Go on, no, you need to go this way. No, I want to go that way. And we know, I think we do the bargaining also with the Lord. If we're honest with ourselves, we, We also say that sometimes. So here Lot wanted to go to this other place. And they did allow him to do that. I guess you call that the perfect will versus the permissive will. Yes, I want you to go here, but you're choosing. Is that meaning we're free moral agents and we make choices in our lives? I believe it is. The Lord was merciful unto him. They brought him forth, and away they go. It was almost being saved. And in that culture, the wife would walk behind the husband. That was the culture, several steps behind the husband. Do not look back. How many of us see the sign, wet paint, and we got to touch it? Don't look back. We tend to want to look back. Yes, I'm sure that right now the Holy Spirit's working in our hearts and minds to those things that would take place in our lives. Think of the rich experience she had, but she still clung to the things of the life and entertainment of that world. The pleasures. The history of Lot's wife is a special warning to all. She was privileged above so many because there were so many in Sodom who had not heard of any gospel. What is it said by Jesus in Matthew 11, 21 through 24? I believe somebody has that. Jesus foretells of judgment. Matthew 11, 21 to 24. 21. That's okay. If you read an extra verse, it won't matter.
All right. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you.
Okay. We have listed here what's going to take place. And we also have listed here it's better for other cities than it will be for Sodom. God is saying to Sodom had no warning. They did not know the mighty acts of God. They didn't know the love of the Father in giving his Son. If so, it would have remained to this day. Think of the situation that Jonah got himself into. When Jonah turned to go the other way, to run away from Nineveh, from his God-chosen assignment, he finally went and spoke to Nineveh. What happened in Nineveh? They repented, and Nineveh is still there. Remember Lot's wife, she had seen the mighty acts. Physically, she delivered out of the sight of the city, but her heart clung to Sodom and its entertainment. Lot's wife was almost saved by outward opportunities, also by means of the knowledge of God. Lot's wife did not have an excuse. She was aware of Abraham's blessing. Yes, Abraham took his servants and rescued his brothers in times past. This time he interceded and God saw fit to take them out of the city. Yes, the day of Sodom was that of eating, entertainment, laughing, play until the day of Christ's return. The state of unreadiness is really showed up here. Genesis 19:12 says that, and the man said unto Lot, hast thou any besides, son-in-laws, daughters, whoever, in this city? Bring them out. The number could easily reach 10. We need to remember her escape as well as the destruction. You and I might be in the gospel, and we might be under the proclamation of his word. We might almost be saved, but lacking one thing. our heart may not be severed from the things that are of this life. Yes, Lot told them to get up and get out. The angels brought them out to escape for their life. Do you see the sin of this generation? Do you understand why we have sodomy, sin, abortion, and all the other things that we see in this world in which we live today? If we have our eyes open, we see all this. The scripture says they worship the creature more than the creator. Therefore, God left them over to their sins. They had divided hearts. And I want to read from 1 John 2:15-17. 1 John 2:15-17. I don't think I have that verse to anybody as far as I know. I've got to go back here and get one of the little Johns. Oh, where is it? Go ahead. 1 John 2:15-17. Thank you.
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But who does the will of God abides forever.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Also, in Ezekiel 16:49-50, it says, "Behold, that was the iniquity of the sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor or needy." Help us today to realize that it was the sin of fullness of bread, the abundance of idleness, which Jesus said preceded the day of Noah and Lot. Does this sound like a day of today? Does this sound like what's taking place? Jesus said, remember, because we are in danger of forgetting. We are in danger of forgetting. Yes, forgetting those things which happened to Lot's wife. And I want to turn to 1 Peter 5:8-11. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he has suffered a while, make you perfect, established, and strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Think about Abraham and Lot. What Abraham did in order to speak to God. He interceded. He had influence. You and I have influence in the world in which we live. And I want to close with this song. I'm not singing it. Almost persuaded. Philip Bliss wrote this. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. O wonder, come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost but lost. May we continue to exert our influence through intercession and our influence in living our lives to honor and glory God, that others may know. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you're the one who spoke and brought everything into being. You sent your Son Jesus to die so that we can have life, to forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our shortcomings, so that we can have life and life in you. Lord God, open our hearts this morning to the receiving of your Spirit's moving. Guide us as you go forth from here this week so that we might honor and glorify you. Strengthen us in our will and in our determination to follow you so that we might show forth your praise, because you are our Father and our Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.